Welcome, welcome to the show. You are listening to The Rational Revolution here on the Civic Media Network. I am your host, Mark Becker. Hey, thanks for finding us again. Many thanks to last week, my friend, colleague, and now apparently my gynecologist, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, for coming on the show. If you feel like that was an inside joke and you missed out, well, you can head over to civicmedia.us. where that episode, along with every other episode from this and every one of our shows, is available at your fingertips, civicmedia.us. So check it out. But this week we're going to get right to it. I am proud to have frequent flyer. I'm joined once again by my dear friend, former GOP strategist, political insider, all around wonderful guy, your favorite Southern gentleman, Mr. Carlton Huffman, is back. What's up, buddy?
It has been an interesting time since we last spoke. I know it feels like the country is going the way my Duke men's basketball.
I know.
Chances went. That one was a very painful weekend on that end. But we've also seen some signs of hope since we last spoke. Susan Crawford was able to win that decisive victory in the state Supreme Court race. And I've just got to tell Wisconsin voters, I mean, I know y'all probably get tired of the commercials and the text messages. Bombarded, but you don't know how good it felt for the rest of the country to be able to look at you guys, and y'all got to blow off some steam for last night. We have to wait at best until this November just for local and municipal elections, and until next November before we can weigh in and actually push back. But Wisconsin definitely got the job done, and you guys were an inspiration to just see Elon light $25 million up in smoke.
Yes. That was fun. You know, and the last time you were here was like 5 months ago. We did a recap on the election. I didn't realize it was that long. It's been a minute. And so much has happened.
Blink and there's like five different things happening all at the same time, and so it's hard to pick out what's going on. But I consider and say, I know if you're a person who has stake in the stock market, whether it's a 401k, whether it is, just basic investments. I mean, we have seen like over $6 trillion just go up in smoke. And
yeah,
in the past, whenever these things happened, I mean, the economy goes up, the economy goes down. That's just like the sun going up and down. Mm-hmm. It's natural. But this is probably the first time in U.S. history that we have had a self-owned goal on this one, all due to the President of the United States. He actually believes in one thing, and that has been throughout his career, he has been consistent. He is willing to bend on immigration. He's willing to bend on gun control and abortion. But tariffs, that is the closest thing to religion that this man has found, and we're all paying the price for it.
And I don't understand it. And I want to talk about tariffs in a little bit, because like I don't understand like the fascination, and it, you know, it's, we'll talk about that in a second. But you mentioned Susan Crawford. Like how was that perceived down the bayou? Because where are you now? Tell our listeners where you're hailing from.
Yeah, still in my home state of North Carolina, here in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains. And I know that there was a perception that Elon was making a difference in a positive way on behalf of Brad Schemmel, and there was a little bit of nervousness. I mean, I was eagerly texting a few folks up there, turnout numbers in Dane County and Milwaukee, and amazingly, it seemed like across the board, Democrats did what they needed to do. Susan Crawford got more votes than Scott Walker did.
Oh my God. I didn't realize that.
And you've seen a lot of, I won't name names, but there's some normal MAGA and conservative folks in Wisconsin trying to poo-poo the results, saying that they're not that big of a turnout. It was as big a turnout as a midterm election. And there was
all the
money spent on behalf of Brad Schemmel. And the fact was, he still lost by double digits. It was the same as it was for Janet Protasiewicz. And the Republicans were basically saying, we just need to turn out 60% of Trump voters and we'll win. Well, they turned out 62% of Trump voters in Wisconsin from last November. But Susan Crawford turned out over 70% of Kamala's voters. So it was an amazing job by both activists and the state Democrat Party to get this thing done.
It was interesting, you know, to... because I think sometimes in Wisconsin we're almost in a bubble, you know, of like, because there's so much in when these elections happen. There's so much noise and so much. So it's like, okay, we were inundated with it. How much did people outside of the area know about this? How much did people understand that, like, this was the first battle test for Donald Trump and Elon Musk? And, like, how it's hard to kind of set yourself outside of the area to really grasp, okay, was this really a big deal? How big of a deal was it, you know?
It was this was the first significant L that Trump, MAGA, and Elon had taken since the election. And for the first few weeks, it seemed like Trump was the steamroller and the unstoppable force just moving through American politics. And you heard a lot of his apologists and supporters basically saying that he's a force of nature, that there is no stopping this. But we saw it in 2017. Yeah. Whenever the resistance first rose up, they started to push back, but they didn't get many outright wins until Virginia in November of 2017.
Yeah, right.
Out the gate on April 1st, the resistance in Wisconsin put a big win on the board, and then followed up by, it was in conjunction with Cory Booker's filibuster in the Senate, broke the Strom Thurmond record, put a good record of something to filibuster against. Yeah. And then you saw the April 5th protest around the country. So there is something churning in the water, and you are just seeing it with Trump's approval rating on the economy and across the board. And it's not just Trump's approval. Republican Party as a whole is taking on water on the most critical issue to voters. They voted for him this last November because he promised, we're going to bring inflation down, we're going to get grocery prices under control, and instead he is blowing all that out of the water along with public confidence in what he promised to deliver.
Well, and it's funny because, like, what was it, just this week it was where Elon said, well, you know, we were talking about $2 trillion. We're really going to be like around $150 million in savings. So it's like all that stuff was just BS. And then, you know, and then in those numbers, it's like, even though that's crap, because it's like numbers that, like, contracts that he just is not going to pay, or, you know, so it's weird. And we're inching closer to that 100-day mark. I think it's at the end of this month. And I look at, you know, since you were here, what has happened? And I, like, the tone was so darkly set on day one, where he granted clemency for that, like, 1,600 people who were on trial for January 6th. And it has all gone downhill since then. You know,
it's something that we knew, and I think you and I talked about it. I mean, we knew it was going to be bad. There were certain things that we knew he said that he was going to do. We predicted the January 6th people were going to get the pardons. We predicted the tariffs. We predicted that Ukraine was going to get thrown under the bus and Vladimir Putin was going to be empowered by it. The one thing I will sit there and say that we probably missed and underestimated was just the sledgehammer that Elon took. And you can sit there and say they saved $150 billion, but how much is this actually costing us? I mean, the opportunity costs around the world, whenever it comes to the goodwill that we bought with USA, that's going to be filled by China, or it's going to be filled by other adversaries of the United States. When it comes to the CDC, the Health and Human Services, we've got a measles outbreak that is basically the first one in 20 plus years that we have in the United States. And all that this administration can point to as a success is, we renamed the Gulf of Mexico. That is
right. Well, and then, like, the rest of the world's like, no, you didn't. And I'm glad I just flicked the camera. I'm glad that it was under my name so no one saw it. But, it's stuff like that. And what surprised me, because everybody that I talked to on the show when we were talking about January 6th, I don't think anyone really predicted that every single person just about would get a pardon. And so that surprised me. Which it shouldn't have, but I didn't realize, like, how bad and the depths of scum, you know, I didn't realize how bad it was going to get. What has surprised you about all of this so far?
I would sit there and say just the simple fact that we are trumpeting Russian and Kremlin talking points and talking about the war in Ukraine. I mean, I did predict that NATO was going to be under severe duress, if not going to be torn asunder. I think the fact that we are trashing a number of our alliances in Asia, that is something that I was like unpleasantly surprised about. I would also just sit here and say the fact that the Republicans in Congress are willing to sit there, and I want to single out two particularly in Wisconsin, because thanks to the election of Susan Crawford, we might get some new congressional math. Brian Stile and Derek Van Orden. I can't speak for Derek Van Orden knowing better because he is a moron, but I can hear say that Brian Stile is smart enough to know better.
Yes, he
knows how much business is done in the first district. He knows how much the farmers are affected by these tariffs. The fact that they are willing to roll over as these USAID contracts are terminated, and this is American farmers, these are Wisconsin farmers, growing crops that are being paid for and sent overseas. Those things are getting ripped up and Wisconsinites are getting hurt. And the fact that Republicans in Congress are willing to sit there and watch their constituents, their voters get hurt and basically say little to nothing about it has probably been the most surprising thing that I've seen out of the reaction to the Trump administration.
Yeah, that's crazy. And we're going to talk about that in a segment or two here. We got Carlton Huffman, GOP insider. And I want to, like, that has been interesting to me, of how they've rolled over and just and like the people that should know better, that, you know, damn well, they know this is bad. They know this is not acceptable. I know I'm going to throw your friend under the bus, that Nancy Mace. She is a smart person. She knows better. But then, you know, she's doing this whole, like, why aren't we focusing on the economy? But you're focusing on the fact that you don't want a man going to the woman's bathroom. It's like, Nancy, what are we doing here? We got like 30 seconds left. But I don't understand that. Like Brian Stile, yes, we both know he knows better. Ron Johnson, he's an idiot. He's going to Ron Johnson. But there are people, even down to like the assembly and state senate races and representatives, they know better and they know this is bad and they know this is hurting people. But instead, what they do, it's full steam ahead with the big snowplow on, damn the torpedoes, and they don't care. And that's something for me that's incredibly frustrating. And we're going to pick this up on the other side. We're going to talk about tariffs with Carlton Huffman here on the Rational Revolution on the Civic Media Network. Stick around.